Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This is your Bomb Wednesday service. I am Naima Cochran, better known as the senior pastor of Music Sermon. And back with me this week is Karn Phillips. Hi.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm over here trying to stay cool, drinking my water, hydrating. Shout out to all the Uber Eats drivers that helped me down the last couple days. Appreciate the service.
Wait, I'm going to come back to that because I need to know if this means you can't cook, but we're going to put a pin in that.
Wow.
I'm just, it's just a question. It's not a judgment. It's just a question. It's just a question. Before we get into anything, though, I want to shout out everybody who listened to the show last week. You guys showed us so much love. A lot of you tweeted at me, tweeted at the rest of the Bomb team. Just show support. Let us know that you were listening. Please continue to do so. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff, all that stuff that you're supposed to do with podcasts. Please do that. But most importantly, please continue to give us feedback. Let us know what you would like to hear us talk about. Let us know what you like. You can let us know what you don't. My skin is thick. It's a new show. We're figuring it out. And I also do want to shout out the rest of the shows in the Count the Dings family. So there is, in case you did not know, the Count the Dings feed, which is the Dad Pod on Monday, Cinephobes on Wednesday, the Mailbag on Friday, and then My Family, the Bomb feed, which is the original Bomb podcast on Tuesday, my show on Wednesday, and the Woke Bros on Thursday, and then the Pack Your Knives feed on Thursday, or rather the Pack Your Knives show on Thursday. So we got something for everybody on every day. So make sure you're checking all of those out as they appeal to you. But for this week, unless you have some shout outs, Mr. Phillips, of your own? No? Yes?
I'm good.
Aside from the Uber Eats people, which we're going to talk about in a second.
DoorDash too.
DoorDash too. Yeah. So wait, actually, let's just pause there before we get into anything else. Do you not cook?
Yeah. I cook really, really well. Like,
you cook really well.
My cook game is fantastic. I just haven't felt like it the last couple of days.
No, I can't even be mad at that because I was overcooking really early in quarantine.
Yeah, I cooked a mean breakfast this morning, but then I was just like, I don't feel like doing this shit. I got some promo codes. And
promo codes.
Yes.
I'm never mad at a promo code. I'm hesitant to use Uber Eats because I hear stories about people stealing food.
See, I was just like you, but since moving to Chicago, I got all four of the apps.
Mm-hmm.
Since I started in COVID, everyone's taking these huge, you know, cautions. So everything's stapled and bagged and sealed.
So people can't be like sneaking your fries.
Yeah, so they can't do anything. But before, like when I was in Atlanta, I was just like you. I was like, nah, I go pick it up. I'm good.
Right.
I ordered a 10-piece, not an 8. So yeah.
Right. I don't know. I mean, listen, things are opening up, but I'm still getting delivery at home, so I may give them a shout. But the delivery fees are so high. Well, anyway, that's another story. One thing I do want to get into before we get to anything else in the show. By the time this airs, it'll be July 1st, which in and of itself is crazy. But today, June 30th, as we're taping, is the last day of Black Music Month. And me being who I am, I would be remiss to not acknowledge that. And also, because context and history is what we do here, give a little bit of framework around how Black Music Month actually got started. So even though the observance is 30 years old last year, it wasn't actually recognized as a bill for the month of June until 1991 during the Clinton administration. But it was actually brought on by a group formed by Kenny Gamble and a bunch of other kind of leaders in Black music. They formed a consortium called the Black Music Association. And their goal was to, like, the mission statement was to protect, preserve, and promote Black music. But their intention was to drive major labels, to have Black music divisions, hire more Black executives, to get more Black promoters in venues, to get Black retailers better rates on product because they were complaining that they couldn't sell as much because they couldn't get the same price as the big box retailers could get. And the formation of the Black Music Association, it was people in radio, TV, so like Don Cornelius was in it, people from the Black Broadcasters Association, people from the Black Retailers Association, people from the Congressional Black Caucus, like Jesse Jackson was part of it, artists, Stevie Wonder and Smokey Robinson, and then, of course, executives like Dick Griffey, and just about Berry Gordy, basically anybody who you would imagine that in 1978 would be part of some Black music shit. And unfortunately, there were too many fractions in terms of focus inside the coalition. They only lasted a few years, but the one thing that they did that stuck was Black Music Month. And initially it was intended to be all about increasing the retail revenue and sales of Black music. So now we just use it to celebrate and observe Black music and highlight Black artists. But the initial tagline was Black music is green. And it was a time to actually drive sales up for the music of Black artists. And actually, I think that now when we're in a time where urban music is the number one genre, I think that that's a nice little turnabout. Although we're right back to where we were before in terms of needing black music divisions, black executives, et cetera. So that's another story. That's something that a lot of us in the industry are working on. But I just wanted to give that little background. So shout out to Black Music Month, my favorite time of year. But also, as part of Black Music Month, the BET Awards celebrated their 20th anniversary the other night with a virtual program. And I really wasn't sure how this was going to go. Like, there's been a lot of virtual shows already so far. We've seen fundraisers. We've seen, you know, the Club NFL TV draft. Came back, the NFL draft, with various levels of success, right? I thought the production value of the BET Awards was really well done. But what did you think?
I loved it. Like, the only thing I could compare it to would be the NFL draft, because that went off flawlessly. And that was like a 3-night event. And it was, we had a lot of question marks coming into it, you know, as you've got player reaction and you had to have all the cameras and the amount of people. And, you know, the best thing about the draft is the reaction in the arena and walking on the stage and all of that. So that was leaving. But somehow ESPN and NFL Network pulled it off seamlessly, which is what happened Sunday night. Because, look, I'm a fan of BET. I know people like to criticize it. I never have, because I understand their purpose and what they're doing. And they did a really, really good job. And I think what people should take away is that I wasn't so surprised that they did so well, because I understand how hard it is to do a live show, and the BET Awards are live every year, and it's a party, and you tell these artists get up there and don't cuss, and what do they do as soon as they get out there? Start cussing. So I get why there are hiccups every year, especially during intermission. Everybody want to run outside and go to the bathroom, take a picture, and go to the bar. I get why they have legs. So
yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of moving parts to a live production that I think people don't really account for, to your point. And these are real, actual live human beings, so you don't always know if they're gonna do what they're supposed to do. But no, I think they did, and I happen to know from people I know who work in BET that they were busting their ass to pull this together. I mean, the 20th anniversary is a hell of a time to not be able to do a live show. And you couldn't skip the show because it's the 20th anniversary of the BET Awards, right? I actually remember sitting in the office at Arista watching the very first one and kind of wondering, I want to say, yeah, it must have come on during the weeknight because I was at work. But it's been interesting to see how it's evolved over the years. But to your point about the catching the family and a player reaction, that was the one thing I felt like was missing. Like, there's something about having an audience at a live show that you just can't duplicate or replicate. And your girl, Amanda Seals,
Tiffany
is not the one to bring the energy factor. I mean, I have my own shit with her and her special woke brand of commentary and humor and whatever you want to call it. But that she was the only thing that kind of fell flat for me.
Here, like, I get it. I know people who know her personally and don't like her. And I get why some people don't like her and why she can be problematic at times. What I appreciate her about her, though, is that, like, she's trying. Now, does she always succeed? No, but she's trying. But I think she had a really, really difficult job to all that she did with the skits in her house with no audience reaction. Like, you got to think Amanda Seals has been a radio host. She's been a singer. She was up there with Floetry, and she took the Floetry spot for a while. Right. She's been on TV. She hosts her own, Smart Funny in Black.
But she's definitely done tapings before. Like, her MTV 2 shows had no audience. So that's not, I get it.
Like, award show, like,
you can't feed off a reaction.
So, I don't think she'll be back, but I saw a tweet that was like, they should have had Seach's World. And I was like, yeah, actually, that would have been a great idea.
A lot of people were like, this would be the perfect opportunity to bring Seach back. I'm surprised that there wasn't even, like, at least, like, a little Sita clip something. They could have at least had her do a little interstitial something.
But we're assuming that like Sita would have wanted to do this, though.
Like, I mean, it ain't got to be the same voice. Yes, it could be somebody. No, it doesn't. It really? Could have been somebody else. I mean, especially if you got Donnie. They had Donnie Simpson towards the end. You might as well bring Sita. Who can't do Sita? But here's what I think. So my understanding is that the reason that BET, I don't have proof, but I believe this. My understanding is that the reason that BET Plus doesn't have their legacy shows like the Sita, like the Teen Summit, like the old video show Souls, is because they didn't properly catalog the footage and preserve the footage. So like they don't have an archive.
I believe that. So,
well, Sita may just not beat her. They may have had to
listen. Like, I had the BET login from someone, and I was definitely looking for old episodes of Hits from the Street, and it was not on there. It was not there.
That's hilarious. Yeah, they don't have any of their classic stuff on there. They just have movies and new TV shows and just regular black TV shows. But anyway, shout out to you, BT. Tagline, our culture is too big to be canceled. I mean, I get it. I guess I don't think anybody was saying y'all should have been canceled, but I get it. It was, you know, it was trendy. It was good for the times. But I also want to point out, and this ties back to the whole Black Music Month thing I was talking about. So when the Black Music Association was formed, Kenny Gamble, who, for those who don't know, is one half of Philly soul production team Gamble and Huff, he based the model on the Country Music Association because he saw how fiercely the Country Music Association protected and insulated country music, country artists. So this is kind of relevant because last night or Sunday night was the first time the BET Awards were on a major network outside of the Viacom system. They were on CBS because of the Viacom-CBS merger. And the reason I bring this up and the Country Music Association up is because the CMAs have been on a major network since the 70s. But the Black Award shows, I'm not going to say we never have. Soul Train was syndicated for a long time. I think the NAACP Awards may have been on NBC at one time, but I definitely know that like the Source Awards was on like UPN or something like that. But like
shout out to UPN.
Shout out to the U People's Network. But for as long as I can remember, it's been a TV One, a BET, you know, it's VH1, been
on MTV.
Yeah, it's been on a cable
7.
You know, MTV Jams. So I'm happy to see the BET Awards at 20 years. Finally be on a major network.
You know what was the funniest about that, though?
What?
That they actually aired it on CBS, which is the whitest network of all time.
Wait, how is
LL Cool J is like the only black person, and that Seth the Entertainer show with Pam are like the only shows that have had black people in like the last 400 years. On CBS.
I'm going to have to give that some thought. You might be right. I can't even really...
The only time you see black people on CBS...
All I know is that The Young and the Restless comes on CBS. So for me, that's black.
Is Christoph St. John still on it?
He's dead.
See what I'm talking about? Okay. See?
And the rest of his family is... Whatever. You know, listen, The Young and the Restless is low-key a black show. All right. I would also move on from music and entertainment. This has been a really rough week in black media. Because part as a result of this recent round of uprisings and protests, I think that somewhere we all collectively got a memo where we were like, you know what? Not only are we not being passive with these white folks and preserving their feelings anymore. But you know what? Let's talk about what's going on in-house, right? And there has been a collective, like, calling out of type, you know, I didn't know if I should say anything. I've been holding on to this story. I didn't want to really expose anybody. But it's like, it be your own niggas. That's what we've been going through for the past week on the media side. So I don't necessarily want to rehash the details of every one of them, but more so just to talk about what kind of effect this could have moving forward. Because I think it's not even so much a crabs in a barrel thing, which I think some people want to claim, like, you know, folks get senior positions and they want to hold other folks down. I just think that people are put in positions of power who don't know how to handle power. Like, is it a reaction to, like, I've been oppressed so long, as soon as I get in a place where I can actually, like, push that off on somebody else, I'm gonna do that a little bit? I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think it's just men are trash. Like, let's just be honest.
But it's about women, too. Like, there's women indicted in the Essence joint. I've definitely worked under some women who were all about, like, the haze.
Yeah, but you know what? If we dig deep enough with that, it's usually probably stems from somewhere they had something that they had to deal with that was based in misogyny, and it hardened them and made them away, and they might not have grown or evolved or matured from it. But if you dig deep enough, and like you said earlier, like, it was a bad week. No, I actually thought it was a great week. Like, I think it's good that everybody's getting exposed.
Yeah.
I think it's good that people are getting called out. I think it's good that people are losing their contracts and their money, and they're getting put out the paint, because, like, it's time for them to go. Some stuff I had no clue about it. Like, I spent a couple days earlier this week, like, having conversations and, like, self-reflecting, and was like, okay, what was I doing that I didn't pick up on some of this stuff in some of my own industries?
All right.
Because, like, as a man, I got to look at myself and being like, okay, while I didn't know certain things were going on, because I didn't rock with certain people, or I didn't mingle in certain circles.
Right.
Like, I just feel like I should have did a better job of being observant of Black women.
Well, I'm not, and you know, but I also think that you still may not have known. So, like, the companies that are being called out specifically, at least now, I'm 100% sure more is to come. It started with OK Player and OK Africa, and then was Black Sports Online, which I didn't even know he had staff, but that's a whole nother whatever.
Staff if you don't pay him.
I mean, true. I didn't know he had people at all. And he apparently today was let go from TMZ Sports, which I didn't know that was even a thing. But anyway, so then it was Essence, and the Essence one, the fallout is still kind of rolling out. But I think that it's not so much that we didn't know. Like, I don't feel like anybody Black is surprised by these stories, right? Because we all know that there, if you work in a tight industry, there are always these conversations, not just about the white orgs, but the Black orgs, about who mistreats, who underpays, what's janky, what you might get, what you might not get. And we just kind of chalk it up to part of the process, paying dues, the price of admission, like, and it just feels like everybody is collectively like, nah, fuck that, we're not taking it anymore. But I'm very curious to see, well, A, who's next? Because they definitely not done.
Like Hip Hop Harry, who's next?
Who's next? Go, 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 who's next? I know a few people who are like, I'm just waiting on this former job, this former boss, this former whatever. I also think, though, like, I think, Karen, that this is like a year of reckoning. Like, I think that between COVID-19 and then the uprisings coming on the back of COVID-19, when everybody was already at their wits' end, already tired, already out of patience, you know, already looking at a changed world, I just really think that any fucks we had left to give is just gone.
I reached negative in March. Like, I always walk around day to day with like 0 to 1 at max.
Right.
So like, yeah, you know, remember that time when you was like real world broke, and you would check your bank account and it'd be like a negative $234.
Yes.
I'm like there. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm there.
I think the funniest thing to me is that, like, we're all there. And it, like, all happened at the same time. I remember there was, like, one series, like, 3 days in group chats where every single person was like, yeah, nah, I'm over this. I'm about to tell this person about themselves. I'm about to tell this coworker about themselves. So it was only a matter of time before it turned internally. So I also do see, finally, a challenge for, like, some real accountability with people pushing each other to say, all right, fellow Black person, what systems of, you know, supremacy, the patriarchy, whatever, are you upholding with other Black people, right? And I think that I don't know, like I'm seeing people being more specific with celebrity call outs, people calling out friends. I mean, it's about to get, I think this is a, like I said, it's a reckoning. Like 2020 is about blowing through like the winds of Pentecost. Like, get all this shit out of here.
You got to understand it, though. It's because people have had their vices taken away that would have
no distraction.
Divided. Yeah, like, look, here in Chicago, I read something where, like, the governor just passed something that said, because weed is, like, legal here. Mm-hmm. People that can grow and transport, import it, they're, like, whatever certificates or whatever they could get from the state that was going to legalize it has been put on hold. You can't go out to eat. You can barely go outside. Right. Everybody's stuck in the house, and they're either good with their significant other, tired of their significant other. If you're single, you're not getting none. Like, you can't go to a happy hour after work because you're not going to work to leave anywhere.
Right.
And it's like you're ain't stuck. No sports. It's no sports.
You can't hang out with people.
You can't go to the movies. There isn't date night anymore. There isn't, let's go to his event and,
go on vacation.
You can't do anything that people normally do to get away to stop them from going off on people.
This is a very good point that I had not considered. So because people have no distractions, no vices, no true alternative ways to either just numb themselves to whatever's going on or distract themselves to whatever's going on. And I would also argue because people do not right now have to be in the office with these motherfuckers every day. I think that's part of it too. They're like, whatever.
So what do you get when you add all that together? Yeah. Time. People have nothing but time and everybody has time today. And so when the wrong
everybody
thing happens,
has time today.
You're like, you know what? Fuck it. I got time.
I got time. Everybody got time. I would just say, listen, I've been examining my own shit. If you got something if you have something that is summer jam screenable, that shit is coming. I would advise that you sweep around your front door. But even as Essence is going through its own process, I do just have to give a quick shout out to Essence Music Festival because I would be on my way to New Orleans probably today or tomorrow for a good old 5 days of eating, two-stepping, drinking, and just being really fucking black. And
wait,
I'm
wait. Two things. I want to get to the controversial one second. First of all,
Do
people know how much of a dance floor connoisseur, that's the right word, you are?
I don't know if they do.
Like, I've never seen you sit down.
I don't sit down. This is true.
At all.
If there is music playing, people may not know this about me, actually. So you guys should know. If there is music playing, I could be in the grocery store, I could be in a restaurant, I could be on the sidewalk, but especially in a venue, I'm probably up. If I'm sitting down, it's because I'm really tired. I'm really bored. But usually I'm up and I'm on the floor. But that's what I love. That's what I love about Essence. It's just like, to that end, I'm in my seat. I'm dancing in my little aisle. I'm trying to do a whole like hand dance.
You also have a formation. I don't think you know that you do.
I don't think I know I do.
Anytime I've seen pictures of y'all in person, and the person y'all have a, it's like you head down, holding
her head up,
and y'all are, it's a theme. It's like black, it's like Ebony Voltron. I don't know what it is. It's like the Power Rangers, Wonder Twins, Activate. It's like y'all don't look at each other.
We don't look at each other. It just happens. And this is, so we share a friend in common, and that's actually like, I hit her up for her birthday. When I posted for her birthday, I was like, you are like one of the main people that made me think of outside. When I think of being outside, especially in summertime, that's usually my girl. And we would probably both be in New Orleans right now, actually. But I think the thing, I wanted to shout Essence Festival in part because I was talking to some of the other guys from Bomb and Count the Dings on Wise's show last week. And talking about how some of the stuff that we are explaining is kind of like black stuff for white people. So I welcome that because I know we have black listeners, but I know we have white listeners too. So I realized, so like as this festival have reached, is definitely going to decline again next year, but have reached like 500,000 people annually descending upon New Orleans for the Essence Festival, right? And I remember last year walking the streets on the 4th of July because the festival didn't start until the 5th. And there was mad white tourists out there on the 4th. And they were so confused about where all these black people were coming from. And I was like, it's 25 years old. How do you still not know? It's still like a, how is anything with 500,000 people annually still a secret? It's still like a secret.
And you want to know a secret? I still haven't gone yet.
You haven't? I thought you were gone. I could have sworn you've told me that you're gone.
I've not gone.
At least you know about it, though. But wait, what's held you back? Why haven't you gone?
Look, man, listen. It ain't been but 2-3 years I didn't got my life together. Like, I just got a tough head for it, all right? Like, okay. Look. And then a couple years, it's just always come at certain times where I just couldn't go or I had something else planned. But that reaction from black women after girls trips where I was just like, okay. And I was hearing stories from cats that was like, look, trust me, just go and show up. Right. You'll have a great time. And I was like, you know, I'm pushing 40. Might as well hop head first into this auntie game and just pull up.
It's not even the auntie thing. I think that was what held people back a long time. It's not even the auntie thing anymore. Like, there are definitely like younger women. That's what I love about Essence is that there are black, it's like a family reunion. There are black people of all ages, from all regions, of like there's whole families out there. There's girls that are there in trips. There's guys that are there, you know, to get at the girls who are there. There are couples there. Like, and you can create whatever experience you want. If you want to just do a party weekend, you can do a party weekend. If you only want to do the shows, you can just do the shows. If you just want to be in New Orleans and soak up the energy and just eat, you can do that too. Like, you can create whatever experience you want for it, which I love about it. But I miss it. And Bruno Mars was supposed to headline this year, which I've been waiting for about a good 3 years. So, you know, New Orleans, Essence, yeah.
But you said all that like you ain't never shot your shot at nobody in Essence. Like,
for the last... exception of last year, for the 4 years previous to that, I was at Essence with my significant other. Thank you very much. Now, what might happen previous to that, that's ancient history. We don't have to go into all that. But, yeah. Anyway, moving on. last week, we talked about NASCAR and Bubba. God bless Bubba. I want to revisit just really quick. Not NASCAR itself, but organist Mike Phillips, who plays for a bunch of different sports organizations, did the national anthem last week, over the weekend, and snuck Lift Every Voice and Sing in there at the top of it. So it went viral because everybody was like, NASCAR is playing the black national anthem. I never thought I'd see the day, and that wasn't on my 2020 bingo card. But I argue that NASCAR had no idea what was going on, nor did anybody else on the track, that he just snuck that in there, because white people don't know what the black national anthem is.
Nope. I have been in
situations. They just thought it was a gospel riff.
Yep.
Stevie Wonder in concert a few years ago, and he was doing a rendition like a mashup of Lift Every Voice and Sing. For those who don't know, Lift Every Voice and Sing was the Negro National Anthem in 1919 by the NAACP. We've called it that ever since. By James Weldon Johnson and his brother, them Johnson boys. But the people in the, because you know white people love Stevie Wonder because they love Motown, but the white people in the arena were so confused when he would get to the Lift Every Voice part and every black person was like standing up singing it. They were like, what the fuck is this song? Because they literally just had no idea. But the bigger thing is, I found out a couple of years ago, somebody I follow on Twitter did a poll, like a black person did a poll, like how many of y'all know the Black National Anthem? And people were like, you mean Wipe Me Down? You mean Wobble? You mean, like, it was, there were a shocking number of people, and I want to say they were probably all like early 30s or in their 20s, who had no idea that there was such a thing as what we call the Negro National Anthem, or what it was. Now, I know, you went to a HBCU and you grew up in your super black household, so I know you've been to it.
Look.
Like all three stanzas, front and back, right?
But I'm like, listen, I'm not going to act like I know all the stanzas.
Okay.
But I know the sum. Like, I know the hum part.
I know the first and the last.
Like, I have been somewhere. The funniest thing is when you go to places, the last time I really, really heard it, which brings in your story, is I was getting an award a couple of years back, and two of my white coworkers came. And when it was time for it, like, they looked at me, and I just bust out laughing. I was like, y'all just stand there and just shut up. And they were like, okay.
Right.
And they were just like, yo, this is dope, but what is this? And
right.
We'll talk about it tomorrow at work. But the funny thing about it was, the woman who sang it got up there, and she was like, everyone, we're going to do all three stanzas. Ooh. And all the black people in the room was just like, oh, shit.
Nobody knows all three stanzas.
Nobody. Listen, you just go with the first verse.
If you ain't got the Methodist hymnal in your hand,
yeah,
sing all three
stanzas. Like, you pushing it with the second one. The third one, I was like, I ain't heard this since Vacation Bible School. Like, you wilding, man. Chill this out. Because if you go all three stanzas, you on stage for a good 9 minutes, 34 seconds.
Oh my God, because you also can't sing it fast.
No.
Right? You have to sing it very slow, like an old school Methodist hymn is meant to be sung. So yeah, you about to be there all day. For those who are like, what in the hell are y'all talking about? You know where you've probably heard it? If you watched Homecoming, you've heard the Negro National Anthem. Because Beyonce wove it. Why are you making that face?
Because I'm just, a part of me is just like, if they listening to this show, they don't know what this song is.
They may not. Listen, we're here to educate and entertain.
They got to catch these jokes, though.
Sure.
They absolutely. Definitely got to catch these jokes.
But it's on Homecoming. So I did a little poll on Twitter because I wanted to see, and it might be because my following is older, but I felt much better about the amount of people who actually proclaim to know what they're talking about. But I will also say, you know, I'm from Gen X. I think we might have been, except for people who went to specifically black schools or HBCUs, we might have been the last generation who like was taught this regularly. But wait,
let me stop you. Like,
go ahead.
We didn't sing it that much at Morehouse.
But y'all did it for, like, convocation and stuff, right?
We got a whole-ass Morehouse hymn we sing in No Other Words, too. I can count probably on one hand the amount of times I heard the Black Negro National Anthem at Morehouse College undergrad.
Like, you've done it, like, graduations and stuff like that?
Fam. Okay. It don't really be what y'all think it be most of the time.
Oh, okay. Well, I know FAMU people be like, yes, we know it. We know all
of it. Like, but FAM is a dip. Woo. Like, I like to tell people this all the time. Like, there's such thing as HBCU culture, but it blows people's mind when we get into like sub HBCU cultures they own campus. Like, right. The way FAM gets down is the complete opposite of how we get down at Spellhouse, and like how A&T gets down, like they on a whole different planet. And right. It's so funny because there are like some things that we all do. But then you'll pull up at somebody's picnic, festival, homecoming.
Well, yeah, you're still not a monolith.
And you're just like, what the hell is this? Like, right. Who does this? only they do it. So it's always some new interesting tidbit I learned about some group or some alums from HBCUs that it's like only they do this.
Do what they do.
Certain songs, certain traditions they just have that is just strictly them. And that's how you can always tell if it's some alums of that school in the house.
That's fair. Well, in terms of like the Twitter population, at least for my followers, I was pleasantly surprised to find that for the most part, everybody, let's say I had 1500 replies. This is just since yesterday, since late last night, actually. Most people said they either knew the whole thing or they vaguely knew it. And only 10% was like, what is that? So that's only 150 people. But out of those 10%, I asked, if you knew it, did you know it before homecoming? The majority of them did. And then I asked if you didn't know it, how many of you are Black? And out of those like 150 people, out of those 150 people, like half were. And I asked if you're Black American.
Yes.
And out of that, yeah, it's a difference. And out of that, that was only like half of them. So I'm not too disappointed. But it also reminds me of when was Stevie's birthday? Last month, when Stevie Wonder's birthday came around. I was saying on Twitter how I hate Stevie's version of Happy Birthday, which Black people have adopted. This is how we have to sing every Happy Birthday to everybody. But it always falls apart after the Happy Birthday. Then it just like collapses into a mess, right? And some people were replying saying, well, my parents never wanted us to do it because they were like, we're not Martin Luther King and it's for Martin Luther King. And then I saw a reply saying, what do you mean Martin Luther King? Like, what's it got to do with Martin Luther King? And I realized that there was a whole contingency of people who do not know that Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday was written as a lobbying tool to make Martin Luther King's birthday a national holiday. I just assumed all Black people knew that. And then I realized, like, but why would they know it? Because nobody ever plays that song. Like, you don't just play the whole Happy Birthday song. Nobody plays it. You don't sing the whole thing. And that's when I realized that sometimes we're the ones that fuck up because we're not teaching. Like we're at the age now where we're supposed to be the teachers and we're dropping the ball. Because folks were like, Google is right there. And I'm like, but they don't know what to Google. Why would you Google Happy Birthday when you don't know that there's something to Google? I couldn't even be mad.
But, you know, hey, I kind of agree with that. But I'm also, there's a part of me that looks at this generation. And
what do you mean? Because you tend to not identify as the generation that you are actually in.
Because I'm not.
That's what you are.
No. I keep telling you, we need to have a whole podcast about how the group of so-called of millennials who were in undergrad when Facebook came out, how we are a different breed because the whole world changed for us and we became the guinea pigs for everything. And we have a different outlook on everything. And we get stuck in this group that we're too old to be a part of, but we're also too young to be a part of the group that's above us.
There's a name for y'all. Y'all are called Xennials because you have some of our characteristics because you came of age before social media and before the digital age, but you're still of a different generation than we are. So you do have a name. You do have a place. But you can't just cast off millennials. You're still a millennial.
Nah, I hate
it. But you mean young millennials. Okay, but you're about to say this generation. What about this generation?
Like, it's just too many times where it's like information is too readily available to you so easily to where certain questions, if you don't know, I get if you don't know certain questions to ask, but you can literally hit a button and ask Siri or ask Alexa where I'm like, you don't even understand the process of getting to the library, getting a library card, and then understanding the
Dewey Decimal card catalog, Jesus.
Or the card catalog. This is what you have to do to get the information that you can hit a button for. So when I ask you a question that you should know or you can easily get the answer to, and your response is, I don't know, instead of asking Alexa, which is the least you can do, I'm like, get out my face.
So, you know, okay, I feel similarly to you because I grew up in a household where if I asked a question, the answer was
look it up
and then come back and tell us the answer, right? So, and come back and tell us the answer. And I had to tell the answer in a way that showed that I synthesized the information and wasn't just repeating the information. Right, like I couldn't repeat exactly what, whatever. But anyway, so, the way somebody explained this to me, because I was talking about how we get on them about music, about the lack of appreciation for music, because when you have every single thing in your phone, the idea of building a music collection doesn't hold any cachet anymore, right? But the way somebody explained it to me, which relates to what you just said, was they don't understand how valuable this level of access is, right? Like, you don't understand what a big deal it is to be able to access information so easily if you hadn't been through it the other way before, right? So they don't even really understand, like, how to us, our minds are blown. Like, you can ask me any question. I'm on Google 57,000 times a day because anything, I'm like, oh, let me Google that. Let me find that out. What does that say? And I can find almost anything because I was a good researcher before and now I'm an excellent researcher. But if you've never been taught those skills analog, you don't know what you have. Like, they don't know how good they have it. That's
what they don't make these kids do footnotes anymore when they write papers.
Right.
That's what it comes down. But also, like, I don't know if this might have been you or somebody else who I saw a couple of years ago write this on Twitter and was like, this is a generation that grew up listening to whatever they want to in the car because there wasn't just one stereo in the house.
I've said that. Yeah, everybody's in their own little
you antenna silo. You weren't forced to hear what your parents listened to. You get to listen to whatever you want to. So you grew up, and I'm just like, well, you should have forced these kids and took their AirPods away. And made up a Citizen Nika Baker album.
I mean, but the problem with that is that our parents didn't do that to us. It's not like they forced us to listen to the music. It just was a matter of circumstance. Like, you absorb their music by osmosis because it's what was on in the house. It's what was on in the car. They didn't even intentionally expose us to it. They just did. And I think that's what we're losing is the fact that we're not consciously making an effort to expose people behind us to the music. So then it's like, how much of that responsibility is on us?
I get that, but at the same time, I feel like if I would have had these same things, my grandma still would have made me listen to Candy Staten in the Cadillac. My daddy would have still been playing Phyllis Hyman albums.
But do you really? But they wouldn't have made you take your earbuds out.
Yes, they would have.
No, you're not.
It would have been, boy, you're going to hear this. And I would have been forced to do it.
If you say so. All right. Next question. This is 4th of July weekend, which, like, Memorial Day meant nothing to me because
you couldn't go nowhere.
We were still heavily in lockdown, but now that, like, things are easing open, even though a lot of countries are, a lot of states are reversing some of their opening stance and shutting things back down. Like, I think New York beaches are open as of July 1st, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of places have kind of gone back to cautious outsideness. It feels like people about to be outside for 4th of July. I am not. I have to go to Philly for work, but it's like with a COVID-19 plan in place for the event with distancing and remote shit happening and whatever. But do you feel like, I feel like people are going to be outside for the 4th.
I mean,
I feel like people are going to be acting like this shit is normal.
Have they not been? They ain't been following the rules for weeks.
True.
So, you listen, anytime you get black people.
It's not just black people. You're not going to make this about black people.
These are the people that I deal with and I care about the most, okay? You give us an excuse to fire up that grill.
True. The grill is real.
It's going to happen.
People been on the grill, though. People have been on the grill for isolation, but that's true. Yeah, I just feel...
It's a different type of sauce.
I feel like this holiday, it feels like a holiday weekend is coming up, even though it didn't feel like that in Memorial Day weekend. And even though, one thing I will say, though, is that all those 4th of July sale commercials that you usually see around this time, I'm not seeing those, which I find interesting. It's like retailers are laying low, but because it would be in bad taste. But what are you doing this weekend? Obviously you're at the house, but I know some people are like, well, I might go to my parents' house and lay low there. I might go to family's house where there's going to be like four people. You just in the apartment?
I'm open. Anybody got any? I have no plans. I'm going to get some Mexican food on Friday. That's all I know right now. So, question marks. I don't know.
Question marks. All right. So for all our listeners, I am advising and cautioning and urging you guys, please be careful. Please don't get caught out here in these COVID streets. Like, it really concerns me. It gives me great anxiety to see so many people outside. Like, it ain't still, like, Rona is still outside. I don't know who told y'all Rona was not outside. Rona is still outside. Them numbers keep shifting. And if we ever want to go outside again in life normally, I would really like you guys to do a nice socially distanced barbecue at your crib or with a handful of loved ones. But since you are going to be in the house this weekend or just amongst friends, I would encourage you to subscribe to our Patreon. It is patreon.com count the dings for exclusive content, show extras, and more. And I remain Naima Cochran, and he remains. I'll let you say your own name this time.
Oh, I should do like a Donnie Simpson impersonation.
Oh, Jesus, just say your name.
Ladies, my name is Karin Phillips, and thanks for tuning in.
Jesus Christ. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. Later.